in the series about end times for the moment. You'll be pleased to hear, I know for some of you, every time I say it's the end times, everyone's eyes sort of go, oh. And a lot of people have enjoyed it. A lot have listened over the internet in many different places. If you've missed the previous versions, the previous subjects, you can go onto the King's Church website and you can listen to them all there on your phone or tablet or computer. So this is actually number 9 in the series. And today we're talking about the second coming of Jesus. So yeah, Jesus is coming back again. And it's going to be different. It's going to be much better. We're going to look at that this morning. So there's a children's story we've probably all heard in which an emperor is planning to visit a certain city in his empire. But the day before he's planning to visit, he disguises himself as a poor beggar. And he goes into the city to see what the people are really like, whether they're kind and courteous and whether they welcome strangers, how they treat poor people and so on. So he goes as a beggar amongst them in disguise. Unfortunately, the townspeople despise him. Nobody gives him anything to eat. They won't let him sit on the streets. They keep pushing him on from one place to another. In the end, they start throwing stones and rotten cabbages at him and they chase him out of the town, saying, "You're not welcome here. We don't want your sort of person in our town." On the next day, the king and his full royal procession, all his court, come into town in all their pageantry and their special clothes and so on. And you can just imagine the shame on the faces of the people of the town who recognize that the king sat upon that royal horse with his crown on his head is actually none other than the beggar that they chased out of town the day before. Imagine the fear, the embarrassment, the shame when they see that they had rejected the supreme ruler of the empire. The ruler hid his identity. He came in secretly, unnoticed. And then came the day of his revelation, where he showed who he really was. The book of Revelation begins with these words, "The revelation of Jesus Christ." Jesus came to the earth the first time, didn't he? Like that emperor in disguise. Humbly, just as a man living amongst us. Nobody really knew who he was unless they had eyes to see it. But it won't be like that when Jesus comes again. All the world will recognize that this man, Jesus, that they rejected, the one whose teaching they mocked, the one who they crucified, the one who still to this day they shun him and push him to the side, suddenly they will see and they will recognize that that Jesus is actually the King of Kings and the Lord of the universe. Do you know the Bible actually talks about Jesus' second coming 318 times? That's a lot, isn't it? God doesn't want us to miss the fact Jesus is coming back again to the earth. People say, "Oh, I'm not sure, you know, how can you tell that these things ever happen?" Well, I've said this before, but do you know the Bible is actually an amazing, accurate predictor of the future. The Bible predicts 737 historical events before they came about. Things like certain kings rising in a certain place, people being killed, armies being defeated, even the character of certain people and even their names. 737 historical events before they came about, the Bible predicted. Do you know how many it got right? It was actually 593. 80%, you could say, well, is the Bible only 80% right? Actually, no, because 144 events are still future. And they concern the end of time. 144 events that are still ahead of us are predicted. 20% still have to happen. Now, if you get predictions of the future 80% right, you're a lot better than those pundits who tell you what horse to bet on in the races. But actually, at the end of time, we'll look back and we'll say, yes, God was 100% true. The things that he said would happen, will happen. And we've covered that in some of the earlier sessions about some of the signs of the time that are being historically fulfilled with the nation of Israel and other signs that are happening. You can go back and listen to that on the internet if you're interested. So the Bible says 318 times Jesus is coming back. He's going to come back. And so this morning we're going to look at the second coming of Christ. When will the second coming be? What will it be like? What will happen both to the church people and also to ordinary non-Christian people? And what will Jesus do when he comes back? So first of all, when will Jesus come back? Well, the Bible tells us that the second coming of Jesus will come suddenly, like a thief in the night. I don't know if any of you have ever been burgled. It's not nice, is it, to be burgled? If you knew when the thief was coming, you'd be ready, wouldn't you? You'd be watching. And Jesus goes, it'll be like that with when I come back. People will not expect it. They'll be getting on with their ordinary lives. They'll have no thought of God. They'll be delaying making a decision, thinking they have plenty of time. And then suddenly, Jesus will come like a thief in the night. But actually, the Bible says that for us who are Christians, those who read the Bible, it shouldn't be like that. We'll look at that scripture in a minute. He says, now, brothers and sisters, about the times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman. But you, brothers and sisters, you are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. In other words, you shouldn't be surprised, because the Bible has given us a lot of signs beforehand that if we read the Bible and if we see the signs, then we should be aware that it's coming closer. It's coming closer. It's coming closer. And there are many signs. We did three sessions on the signs, and you can look at them all. But the biggest clue is the book of Revelation, you know, where we're actually given a rundown of the last events. You know, it's like having, if you go to the theatre, you get a program. And it tells you there'll be this scene, and then the next scene, and then the other scene. And you can follow through on the program what will happen. That's what the book of Revelation is like. There are first seven amazing events that the Bible calls them the opening of the great seals. And it tells you exactly what will happen. Then there's another seven group of events that are harder, more difficult than those. And that's called the seven trumpets. And then finally, the seven pouring out of God's wrath. And we'll actually know what's coming next. God has given us the order and the menu. Now, at the moment, we don't know when Jesus will come back because we're not into that sequence of events. That's a period of time known in the Bible as the Great Tribulation, and I did two talks on that, so you can listen. If you weren't here, go back and look at the internet. But the Bible tells us specifically in six different places that the length of time of the Great Tribulation, the great troubles that will come upon the earth just before Jesus comes back, it'll last 3.5 years. It says that in six different places. It says 3.5 years, 42 months, which is the same, or 1,260 days. And we know that time of trouble will start with a particular event. I won't go into it today, which will take place in the temple of Jerusalem, which has not yet been rebuilt. But Jesus tells us about that. Daniel tells us about that event. It's in the book of Revelation. Paul tells us about it. When we see this particular event taking place, then we know that we're in the final countdown. And then we can actually count down the number of days till Jesus comes back, 1,260 days. And so Paul goes, he says, it shouldn't be like you. You shouldn't be taken like a thief in the night because you've got the countdown. And when we get into the last months of this age, you will know where we are in the countdown. It's going to be a terrible time, Jesus said, unless those days were cut short. Literally, there'd be nobody left alive because the troubles of that time are so great. At the moment, we don't know when Jesus is coming back, but we will do before he comes. What will the second coming be like? It'll be amazing. For those who aren't expecting it, it will be terrifying. For those of us who are still alive, who haven't been martyred through this last great time of trouble, you know, we'll be living hidden somewhere, probably with other believers. And again, I talked about that in a previous session. Living in this time where we can't buy and sell anything, we can't have phones or internet because of, you know, unless we have the mark of the beast, we're outside of the world system. And we're just waiting, counting down the days in this terrible time until Jesus will come back. You know, he gave us that number so that we won't give up. The trouble will be so great that, you know, unless it was just 3.5 years, he said nobody would be left alive. But what will happen is this, that this is what Jesus himself said. He says, as lightning comes from the east and is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Immediately after the distress of those days. So in other words, right at the end of the tribulation time, after these 1260 days, it says the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the skies and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. All the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call and they'll gather the elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Do you know, on that day, it'll be like if you're at the theatre, you're sat there waiting for the show to start. What happens before the show starts? They turn out all the lights. And the Bible says that there'll be darkness. Immediately after the tribulation, there'll come this time of unnatural darkness. People will be getting very nervous. The sun won't shine. The moon won't shine. It's like the darkness that comes before the curtain comes up and the great play begins. And then suddenly, Jesus will become visible like lightning. Everyone will see him. Every eye across the earth will see him from one end of the earth to another. And it says people will mourn. Those who have been thinking about Jesus, but they've not taken that step, they've not yet given their life because they thought they had more time and they wanted to go on living their way, it'll be too late. Jesus will come back and you'll have no more time to change your mind. How urgent, how important it is that we get right with God today. You never know if this is your last day. Do you know, you could leave church, you could be driving down the road and be hit by a truck. And if you're not ready to meet with your Maker, you never know when your last day will be. We need to be ready, don't we? Because Jesus is coming for you. Either through death or through his second coming, we need to be ready for him. The second coming will not be like his first coming. His first coming was hidden, really, wasn't it? It was like God coming in disguise. He sneaked onto our planet. born as a helpless babe. The second coming, he won't be a baby, he'll be a fully mature man, a king, a warrior. He'll be riding with the armies of heaven behind him. Thousands upon thousands of angels will be there, and every eye will see him. People will be shocked to the core. Those who never believed in God, they thought the world wasn't like that and it's all just a big bang. Imagine the shock when suddenly they see in the sky Jesus coming back with the angels of heaven. His second coming won't be like his first coming, but it will be like his first going. Do you remember after Jesus rose from the dead and he was with his disciples for some time? 40 days he was with them. And then on a certain day he took his disciples out onto the Mount of Olives. And while he was blessing them, the Bible says that he was taken up from them. He started to rise up into the sky. And then it says a cloud came and hid him from sight. And then as the disciples were looking intently up into the sky, this is Acts chapter 1, as Jesus was going, suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven, he will come back in the same way as you have seen him go into heaven." So if you had had a video camera and you were videoing Jesus going up, the same way that he went up, that's how he'll come down. He'll come out from the clouds and he'll come down and he'll land on the earth. In fact, the Bible tells us that he'll actually land, his feet will land again on the Mount of Olives. And we'll look at that in a minute. Now, one thing people don't expects, or those that haven't thought or studied it, that it's actually a human being, Jesus, that will come back. Jesus is still human. Now he's got a different body. He's got his glorified body, and you and me, when we die, will also get that same glorified body that is no longer subject to age. Our sickness will be in the prime of our life. You know, our hair won't be grey and like this. We won't have wrinkles and a limp and all of that. Our body will be made new, but it will still be a human body. And Jesus in heaven, he still had the scars on him from the cross. There's a man today in heaven, and the book of Hebrews talks about that. He's our great high priest. He's one of us. It'll be a human being that actually comes back out of the sky, and his feet will land on the Mount of Olives. What will Jesus do when he comes back? First of all, he will rapture the church. The word rapture, it's taken from a Latin word meaning to catch up. He'll catch up the church. He'll gather together Christians wherever they are, all over the world. Suddenly, he'll catch them up. They'll be caught up into the air and they'll suddenly have a free flight to the sky above Jerusalem. That's where Jesus will come back. This is what some of the scriptures, there are many scriptures about this. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. People will be there looking at this sign, and suddenly one will just vanish up into the air and they'll go to be with Jesus. Here's another scripture from 1 Thessalonians. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Have you ever been away on holiday and you come back to the airport and you've got some of your family waiting there at the airport. You know, you clear the customs, you get your bags and you come out and there's a crowd of different people there waiting. And it's wonderful if you've been away for a long time to meet your family like that. It's going to be amazing, this gathering. Do you know there's no stadium on earth that is big enough for all the believers? Those who are alive today, those who have died, we'll all meet together up in the air, in the sky above Jerusalem. It's going to be an amazing, amazing time. At that moment, the Bible says that God will transform our bodies. He will transform our lowly bodies so that we will become, so that they will become like his glorious body. And there's another scripture, 1 Corinthians 15. I tell you a mystery, we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. We know how many trumpets there are, don't we? Because it says in the book of Revelation, at the last trumpet, that is when Jesus will come back. I think I talked about that in another story, another session. And our bodies will be instantly transformed. Our body will become like his glorious body. Our eternal body. I'm just going to take a moment to talk about this. There are some believers who believe that the church will be raptured before the time of trouble, the tribulation, comes on the earth. And it's a minority view in the church, although it's become recently quite strong in America. There's been a series of books called the Left Behind series, and there's a film that's made about it. And basically the view is that because Jesus loves his people, he doesn't want them to suffer. And so just before the Antichrist and before the great time of trouble comes on the earth, Jesus will snatch all the believers out so they won't have to go through the time of trouble. Now that doctrine, nobody had ever even thought of it before 1830. If you look at the history of the doctrine. And it was actually invented by the guy, or one of the first proponents of it, was a guy called John Nelson Darby. He was the man that founded the Brethren. And he had a very strange way of looking at the scripture. He divided the scripture up into seven times. He said that from the verse, you have to rightly divide the scripture. So he said there were seven ages of God, you know, and God did different things in these seven ages. And he persuaded a prominent lawyer. He went over to the States, and there was a lawyer there called Dr. Schofield who adopted the doctrine. And Schofield wrote the first study Bible, the Schofield Study Bible, where he put his theories in the sort of margins of the Bible, and people would not quite know which were the words of God and which were the words of Schofield. And so through him, this doctrine started to become very popular. And then wherever American missionaries have gone, they've taken this doctrine. But as I say, before 1830, nobody had thought of it. And you'd think if the Bible taught it, someone would have noticed it before 1830. There are so many problems theologically about that doctrine. If any of you are interested to really look at it, I recommend this book, When Jesus Returns by David Pawson. It's a fantastic book that goes all through the details of the Second Coming. You can get it from Amazon or Jacob's Well if you want to order it like that. There are so many problems, I'm just going to cover one or two. Basically, there's no scripture anywhere in the Bible that says that there'll be a pre-tribulation rapture. One of the big problems is that if that's going to happen, there has to be a secret second coming and then a visible third coming, that Jesus will actually come not twice but three times. He'll secretly and invisibly come one time to gather the Christians, and then he'll come visibly for everybody else. I mean, the Bible never talks about that, does it? And there are many scriptures that actually tell us that the church is going to be there in the time of the rapture. So, for example, Jesus said, when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, that's the beginning of the tribulation. Jesus goes to his disciples, you will actually see this. Some of my disciples will see this. And then he also said, for the sake of the elect, those days, the tribulation time will be shortened. Well, if the elect are in heaven, There's no reason to shorten them. And there are many scriptures in the book of Revelation that show that the church is actually there, being beheaded, being martyred in the tribulation time. This is one of them. This calls for patience, endurance on the part of the people of God who keep his commands and remain faithful to Jesus. Revelation 13, verse 10. So I won't go into more detail, but to me and to most scholars of the end times, it's very clear that the church will go through those end times. Many will be martyred, and we talked about that in another session. Some will remain alive right until the end. I'm going quickly. I've nearly finished. You'll be pleased to hear. What else will happen when Jesus comes back? Jesus will save the nation of Israel. It'll be the most remarkable day for the nation of Israel, because the Bible tells us that immediately before Jesus comes back, at the end of the tribulation time, a great army will gather from many nations to fight against Israel and Jerusalem, the army of the Antichrist. There are many different scriptures that prophesy this, but here's one of them in Zechariah. I will gather all the nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. The city will be captured, the houses ransacked, and the women raped. Half of the city will go into exile, but the rest of the people will not be taken from the city. And then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fights on a day of battle. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem. So that's another sign, you know, just before Jesus comes back, there'll be a great gathering of the armies of the earth against Jerusalem, and they'll fight, they'll capture half of the city. But before the Antichrist can totally destroy the people of God, Jesus himself will come back. And there'll be that great visible event, and Jesus will come down out of the sky, and his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. But he won't just save them literally. He'll also, on that same day, there'll be an amazing spiritual event that will take place that is prophesied in various places. Zechariah, the book of Romans, Paul talks about all Israel being saved on one day. Isaiah talks about the same thing. Zechariah chapter 12, I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one that they've pierced, and they will mourn. So they'll see Jesus and they'll suddenly realize, we got it wrong. This man who came and said that he was our Messiah, we crucified him. We got it so wrong. We've wasted 2,000 years. And on that day, they will realize that, because God will soften their hearts and he'll pour out upon them a spirit of grace. Do you know why the devil is so keen to destroy the city of Jerusalem? And why just before Jesus comes back, he'll send that army to try and kill every Jew and to remove them from Jerusalem? It's because of a prophecy that Jesus himself said. Do you remember when Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem? And he said these words. He said, I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So in other words, Jesus goes, I'm not going to come back to this city of Jerusalem. You won't see me here in Jerusalem until the day when you say, Jesus, you're welcome. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So all Satan has to do is remove every Jew from Jerusalem. And then there's nobody who can welcome him back. There's no Jew who can say, Jesus, we welcome you back. Come, you're blessed. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so the devil, right at the end, he goes, I'm going to kill every Jew. I'm going to destroy this city. I'm going to wipe them all out. Then Jesus can't come back, because he said, unless you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, you won't see me again. Jesus, when he comes back, he will defeat the devil. We talked about that huge international army. Here's another scripture in the book of Revelation, that the devil will come back He'll gather a great military force. Actually, this will continue after Jesus came back. And if you're interested in, you know, there's actually a number of days, and I won't get into that because it's a bit complicated. But if you look in the last verses of Daniel chapter 12, you can actually see the number of days listed there between the time when Jesus comes back and the Battle of Armageddon. So Jesus comes back to this besieged city. His feet land on the Mount of Olives, and he's welcomed into the city of Jerusalem. And then the devil goes out around the earth, and he gathers a big army, in fact, the biggest army that there's ever been gathered in the history of mankind. And they come from China, they come from Russia, they come from all over. And they all gather on this plain called Armageddon, which is a little way out of Jerusalem. And you can read about it in various places of the scripture. Jesus is actually in Jerusalem at that time, and he's allowing this big army to gather. And then on a certain day, he rides out with the angels and with his faithful people following him to the plain of Megiddo for this great battle. It's a very one-sided battle. You know, there's every soldier, the best equipped army ever in history, all the planes and the tanks and the guns. And Jesus defeats that army, it says, with the sword coming out of his mouth. The sword is the word of God. He just says one word and the battle is over. That mouth, you know, that spoke at the beginning, let there be light, that created the earth, that parted the Red Sea, that stilled the storm, that mouth, the mouth of Jesus, he will just speak a word and this great army, the greatest in history, will be destroyed in an instant. Jesus will defeat the devil. It says that the Antichrist was captured, the false prophet, and they were thrown into the lake of fire. The devil himself was put in chains for 1,000 years. Now, I'm not going to, well, maybe I will just mention it. But he's removed off the earth, put into a place where he can't cause any more trouble or temptation for 1,000 years. And Jesus will literally reign as the king on the earth. A human Jesus will be the king from his capital city, Jerusalem. And he'll have a kingdom that will last for 1,000 years. And there are so many scriptures about this, hundreds of them throughout the Bible. Here's some of them. The kingdom of the world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. This is what they say at the last trumpet, the seventh trumpet, when that is sounded. Here's another scripture. Jesus won't rule the earth by himself, but he'll have co-rulers. The book of Revelation tells us, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God in the tribulation time. They'd not worshipped the beast or its image. They came to life and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So the earth is going to be ruled over by Christian people, God-worshipping, God-fearing people all over the earth. It's going to be awesome. There's going to be no more hunger. It's going to be no more warfare. People are going to beat all the tanks and the planes into, you know, agricultural vehicles. People are going to live much longer. It says that the one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. Even nature is going to change. And there are many scriptures that talk about this. It says about the wolf will lie down with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion will feed together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. You say, how could that actually happen? It actually could happen. Do you know, when God created the world, you can read this in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 30. The animals actually didn't eat each other. It says in Genesis 1 verse 30 that God gave the plants of the earth for food to the animals. And believers that in America have done various experiments. They've brought up a lion cub only eating grass. And it actually lived and was just as healthy as a normal lion. You can look on the internet and see that. They actually don't need to eat meat. But something happened when the earth fell, when mankind fell, when the devil came into creation, that somehow creation itself fell. The animals fell, nature fell. And when Jesus the King comes back, he will actually restore nature to how it was before. And the lions will no longer chase the deer, but they'll eat plants like the rest of them. For this glorious time of Jesus reigning on the earth. Now that is not the end. Because if you look in Revelation 20, I'll just say this in a second. After 1,000 years, the devil is released from his prison and he comes back on the earth once again. And he gathers all the armies of the earth. He goes to Gog and Magog, and then there's another great battle. You say, why would God do that? Well, of course, only God knows why God does things. But I think it's because, you know, people have long said, well, if only God removed the evil from the earth, if only we had good government, if only the world was ruled by Christian people, then everyone would turn to God and follow him. Do you know there'll be a time of 1,000 years where Jesus will be the king of the earth and the ruler of every nation will be a godly man or woman. Every business will be led by godly people. Will that cause everybody to come to faith in God and to follow him? Not at all, because the heart of humanity is still evil. Even in the millennium, there'll be evil people. The effects of evil will be much reduced because of the law and order of righteous, good and godly people. But after 1,000 years, the devil is released and he'll go around the earth, this earth that is ruled by Jesus. And he'll still be able to persuade some people that he would be a better king than Jesus. And if they just follow him, all their troubles will be ended. He'll gather a huge army. You can read about it in Revelation chapter 20 and Ezekiel as well, chapter 38. And they'll gather this huge army and there'll be a last battle. And then God will take the devil and he'll throw him into the lake of fire for eternity. And then will come the new heaven and the new earth, and then there'll be no more sin, no more evil. Only those who've proved that they really want to follow God will be left alive at that time. And so that's where we're going. But today, just remember, Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Is that going to be the best day of your life, or is it going to be the worst day of your life? Give your heart to Jesus now, and it's going to be the best day of your life. Amen. Well, that's the end of this End Time series. If you missed any, you can listen to them on the internet. Thank you for your patience as we've listened to that. Thank you for coming. That's the end this morning. Do stay. Don't rush off. But, you know, we've got tea and coffee. If